focused on expanding bilateral trade, with both sides reiterating their commitment to removing trade barriers, activating the barter trade mechanism, and expediting the Pakistan-Iran Free Trade Agreement. Larajani also praised Pakistan's support for Iran during the U.S.-Israeli aggression against the country earlier this year.
We discussed all key bilateral matters, especially how to expand our economic cooperation and strengthen trade. Pakistan is a true brotherly nation, and together we explored practical ways to deepen our security ties, enhance people-to-people contact, and coordinate our positions on major international issues.
Pakistani leadership underscored Islamabad's commitment to deepening political, economic, and security cooperation with Tehran.
We discussed all the regional, bilateral, and global issues. It was a wonderful meeting. I'm grateful to my brother Excellency for his visit and sparing time to meet with me. And we had very open discussion about all the issues which are currently being faced by the regional and the multilateral forums.
Observers say Larajani's visit signals a strategic recalibration in Iran's regional engagement after the June war with Israel. They say the visit also underscores Pakistan's rising relevance in Tehran's long-term vision, particularly in border security, regional trade, and balanced diplomacy in a volatile neighborhood.
We are proud of Iran's resistance. They have set a new example because they have shattered the myth of Israeli invincibility through the determination, through the will, and the fighting power of the Iranian nation. And we feel that Iran showed that imperialism, hegemony, Zionism. They say might is right, right is might. And they failed miserably in that.
Larajani is the second high-ranking Iranian official to visit Pakistan this month, after Parliament Speaker Mohammad Bakar Kalibaf.
The latest high-level meetings between the top officials of Iran and Pakistan show that the two neighbors are not only focused on boosting trade and economic partnerships, but also on developing coordinated mechanisms for regional peace and security. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back, dear listeners, to Iran Radio. Here is a quick look at what's still to come on your favorite station. We've lined up more captivating programs, so be sure to stay with us. Coming up this hour is Q&A on Islamic beliefs. That will be followed by Kids Corner. The program is all about children and child's play, a fun program specially made for children. And later, stay tuned for Leader's Speech. Up next, Q&A on Islamic beliefs. Stay with us. We're honored to have you company.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Answering your doubts and questions. And questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah, who is Ar-Rahman? Allah, who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to this episode of Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. You might find it Q&A on Islamic beliefs in our website, iranradio.ir. I am Atal, the host of this program. With me in the studio, we have Sheikh Karimi to answer today's questions. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
I don't know, you might have seen the painting by Hassan Ruhul Amin, Hadith al-Kasa, you know. It's a really, really beautiful painting, a big picture, which is painted by Hassan Ruhul Amin. For information, He is very much famous for the religious theme of his painting. Just go and Google it. You might find it. But today's question is related to Hadith al-Ghassan too, that who narrated the event of the cloak, which is translated, you know, Hadith al-Ghassan, and what is the importance of this event, Sheikh Karimi?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You know, sometimes the question is about Hadith al-Ghassan, as mentioned in Mafatih al-Jinan by Sheikh Abbas Qummi. And sometimes the question is about the event of Qissa. And these are two different stories and two different questions. Because of the fact that the event is mentioned in many sources, both Shia and Sunni sources. But the hadith, as mentioned by Sheikh Abbas Qummi in Mafatih al-Jinan, is mentioned in some of the sources. And I will explain both, inshallah. So there are many narrations, they are somehow, this very story is motivator that when the verse of Tathir in chapter Ahzab, chapter 33, verse 33 was revealed, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُثِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرَّجْسِ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِرَكُمْ تَتْهِيرًا. Allah wills that He remove all impurity from you, the Ahlul Bayt, and purify you, a thorough purification. The Prophet mentioned that this verse is referring to his beloved daughter, Zahra Salman alayha, Imam Ali alayhi salam, Hassan and Hussein alayhi salam.
Right.
This is for sure. This is motivator. And mentioned by, so many narrators in both Shia and Sunni sources.
Yes.
And according to some of these reports, it happened through the event of Qissa or cloak. So, for example, the main story, according to many narrations, yes, is what happened in the house of Umm Salama. So Umm Salama is one of the main narrators of this narration, okay, of Qissa.
The wife of Prophet Muhammad.
Yeah, he's one of the wives of the Prophet. It's been mentioned that the Prophet was in the house of Umm Salama, and he told her that he's about to receive a very significant message from God. So he asked Umm Salama not let any person to enter the house. Umm Salama says that then Fatima Salamuna alayha came to the house, came to the door, bringing a special food for the Prophet.
Yes.
So for sure I couldn't prevent her, and Fatima Salamuna alayha entered. Seeing his daughter Zahra, the Prophet told her that go and bring your husband and two children. So Lady Zahra Salamuna alayha immediately went to her house, and Imam Ali and Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein alayhi salam also came. And Umm Salama, according to one narration, was engaged in prayer, in Salat.
Yes.
The Prophet had what they called it a Khaybari Qissa, or Aba, yes, a Khaybari piece of cloth. He put this cloth over the heads of these four people.
All right.
Imam Ali, Lady Zahra, Hassan and Hussein, alayhi salam.
And he himself, or
yeah,
no?
Yeah, he himself, okay, included, according to some versions. And according to other versions, he was not included. But the famous narrations are referring to the fact that the Holy Prophet himself was
like an umbrella shelter, you know, over the heads of these four people. That's right.
Then he said that, "Oh Allah, these are the Ahlul Bayt, and purify them, remove any kind of impurity from them." And at this moment, the verse that here was revealed, "Innama yuridu Allah liyuthiba 'ankum ar-rijsa Ahlul Bayt wa yutahhirakum tathira." So
Hadith al-Qissa was before the revelation of Ayatul Tathir.
The event of Qissa.
The event of Qissa took place before. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala somehow prepared Prophet Muhammad for such a revelation.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
So this is a very famous event.
Event, that's right.
I'm not going to talk about Hadith of Qissa, as mentioned in Mafatih al-Jinan. I will talk about that later.
All right.
The event of Qissa is, as I mentioned, at least mustafiz, if not mutawatir. It is mentioned in many narrations. Once Aisha, another wife of the Prophet, was asked about the verse, she says that this verse was revealed in the house of my sister Umm Salama. And our dear listeners, if they want to know about the Sunni narrations in this regard, they can refer to Shawahid al-Tanzil by Hakim Hasakani, the famous Sunni scholar. He had narrated tens of narrations under the verse of Tathir.
Is it so that Umm Salama wanted to join them too?
Yeah, sure.
But Prophet Muhammad did not let her.
Yeah, you know, one of the discussions among the Shia and Sunnis is about the concept of Ahlul Bayt, as mentioned in chapter Ahzab. Because prior to this verse, the addresses of the verses are the wives of the Prophet. After the verse of Tathir, again, the verses are addressing the wives of the Prophet.
Yes.
In between, we have Ayatul Tathir, which is a very significant verse, talking about the purification of the Ahlul Bayt. Now, the question is, who are the Ahlul Bayt?
Yes.
According to Sunni scholars, the famous idea is that the wives of the Prophet are included, and according to Shia scholars, they are not included. One of the reasons that the Shia scholars mention is this very narration of Umm Salama. She asked the Prophet that, am I included in the Ahlul Bayt that you are praying for? And the verse was revealed about them. The Prophet said, "Ante ila khair," you are a righteous person, meaning that although you are a virtuous lady, but you are not included in Ahlul Bayt.
Right.
And we have other narrations in Sunni sources as well. So according to Shia scholars, even the Sunni sources refer to the fact that Ahlul Bayt, as mentioned in Ayatul Tathir, is only limited to, these five great personalities, and not the wives of the Prophet. This event is mentioned in many Shia sources, Usul al-Kafi, Amai Bashir Tusi, and many books of tafsir, exegesis, like Tafsir al-Qumi, Tafsir al-Furat, Majmu' al-Bayan, and so on and so forth.
Linguistically speaking, is it true that this ayah, between the ayahs before and after of Ayatul Tathir, change? I mean, in terms of the pronouns, in terms of the context?
This is another indication that the Shia scholars refer to. Before this verse, we have Ya Nisa and Nabillas Tunna. All the pronouns and the verbs are in feminine form.
Yes.
When it comes to Ayatul Tathir, suddenly the tone changes, the pronouns and the verb changes into masculine form. Innama yuridu Allah liyuthiba ankum. Kum is a masculine pronoun.
Yes.
Wa yutahhirakum tathira. And then again after Ayatul Tathir, again we have feminine pronouns and verbs, which means that the accuracy of this special verse must be different from the previous verses and the next verses.
So that the people might not confuse Ahlul Bayt, the people of the house of Prophet Muhammad, the very physical house, with the Ahlul Bayt, the household of Prophet Muhammad. Okay.
We are not going to go to that discussion, but just to answer this point, yes, according to Arabic language, some people argue that, the wives of the Prophet are among his ahl, members.
Yes.
And that is why the wife of Ibrahim is mentioned as one of his family members.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? This is true. But the point is that in this case, we need to refer to the narrations. And the narrations, prove the fact that the wives of the Prophet are excluded from Ahlul Bayt. Although we have one narration in Sunni sources, according to which he says that a person's wife cannot be considered as his ahl because they may separate from that house through divorce, for example.
Okay.
So ahl is only referring to the
children. So the line has to be made between Ahlul Bayt and Ahlul Bayt. It might make confusion in the, for example, next years, that what do you mean exactly by Ahlul Bayt? Is it the wives of Prophet Muhammad or the people who are living, the children, or no, it has some specific meaning.
So as I mentioned, this event is mentioned also in many Sunni sources like Jamu al-Bayan by Tabari, Tafsir al-Quran al-Azim by Razi, Al-Kashaf by Zamakhshari, Ad-Dur al-Manthur by Suyuti, and many others. So this event has happened for sure, and many Shia scholars have mentioned this. Sometimes the question is that why Imam alayhi salam never mentioned his right to imamate. He had mentioned that in many occasions.
Yes.
So, for example, when he was talking to one of the caliphs, he referred to the hadith of the story of Qisa, and he said that was the verse of Tathir revealed about me and my family members, or for your family members? And the caliph mentioned that for you and for your family members. Even the 6-member council after the demise of the second caliph, Imam Ali salam mentioned Ayatul Tathir and the fact that it was revealed about him and his family members. Imam Hassan alayhi salam also has mentioned this event. So this is about the event of Qisa.
The Qisa itself, the cloak itself,
yeah,
I've heard that materialistically speaking, that was the cloak that was given to Prophet Muhammad by Gabriel or something. Is it so? I mean, the very action itself seems to be very much spiritual rather than materialistic, Sheikh Karimi.
As I mentioned, there are, various versions of this event.
Story, that's right.
One of them is what you refer to. The other one is Qissa Khaybari, which means that it seems that it was maybe a gift or a piece of cloth coming from that region around the city of Medina.
Okay.
Now, going to the question of hadith of Qissa. Now, the question is that what about the hadith of Qissa?
Authenticity of hadith of Qissa, that's right.
If you want to go through this discussion based on Rijali discussion, Sheikh Abbas Qummi himself in Muntaha al-Amal, he says that many scholars like Sheikh Qulayni, Sheikh Atusi, Sheikh al-Mufid, Tabrisi, and Ibn Shahr al-Ashub, they have narrated this hadith of Qissa with different wordings. So Sheikh Abbas Qummi, he himself believes that this is an authentic narration. But many other scholars believe that this very hadith, as mentioned by Sheikh Abbas Qummi, is not mentioned in early books. It was mentioned by Al-Muntakhab by Turayhi, and later Awalim al-Ulum by Abdullah Bahrani and Isfahani.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are going to analyze this hadith in terms of Rijal, many scholars believe that it's not an authentic a narration, but even having said that, it doesn't mean that we are not allowed to read that. No, for example, yes. Ayatollah Makarem Shirazi says that the content of this hadith is approved, it is confirmed by other narrations, and people can read this for the intention of Raja, for hope, for the intention of hoping that they may receive the reward mentioned in this very hadith.
Mm-hmm.
There are many, and of course, the seerah and the conduct of our scholars, great scholars of our time, it also shows that they really believed in this hadith, and they encouraged the believers to do that. So my point is that the event is for sure, something certain.
Mm-hmm.
The hadith itself might be, challenged in terms of the rijal, in terms of the narrators, but about the content, again, the content is well approved. And at least people can read it for the intention of Raja or hope.
That's all right. Also a nice distinguisher, we can say, between the previous ahadith which Prophet Muhammad told about the other members of his companions, for example, Salmanu minna Ahlul Bayt, okay? Mm-hmm. So, this Ahlul Bayt that Prophet Muhammad is referring to over here is very much different from Hadith al-Qissa one.
Yeah.
So, again, in order to show the people true way of the guidance after his demise, Prophet Muhammad on different occasions, based on different revelations, tried to make a context for the true guidance and the hidayah of the people. Thank you. Thank you very much, Sheikh Karimi, for a nice elaboration regarding Hadith al-Qissa. Again, I want our dear listeners, in order to go and Google the paintings by Hassan Ruhul Amin with religious theme, also Hadith al-Qissa one is a beautiful painting by this man. Thank you very much, Sheikh Karimi. I really enjoyed talking to you, brother.
My pleasure.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs with me, Atta, the host of the program, and Sheikh Karimi. For more information and also to download for free our other episodes, visit our website, iranradio.ir. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن
It's so hard for an innocent angel to breathe on the earth far from heaven. But for my angel, it was much harder to see me lost in the fire.
Assalamualaikum.
Welcome, kids.
Hey, man.
Hey, girl.
Hello.
Hi.
My brothers, my sisters, and all of my gentle friends, this is a song that I have learned. Let's sing it.
Welcome
to
Kids Corner. And you know, you're not going to go wrong when you're at Kids Corner.
We say assalamualaikum, walaikum assalam.
Assalamualaikum, dude.
Assalamualaikum, walaikum assalam.
You're listening to Brother Ali at Kids Corner. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay?
Okay.
Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Okay. Right, good job, mashallah, you guys are doing it. Ah, good question, good question. I'm about to answer that question.
Our soul he knows everything, past or future, and aware of every word or gesture. Whatever we do is under his sight, be it done in the dark.
Kick, 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 Kids Corner. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. والصلاه والسلام على سيدنا محمد واله الطيبين الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وال محمد وعجل فرجه.
Welcome dear listeners.
Hello.
Hi.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
You're listening to Brother Ali at Kids
Corner.
Welcome everyone.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam. Wa alaikum assalam. Come to the masjid. Come to the masjid. Wash and pray. Wash and pray. These are the things that will keep the devil away.
Missed you guys. All right, we're back now. What did we talk about last week in the last session?
About sitting etiquette.
About sitting etiquette. Very good. But today we're going to talk about something else. And that is etiquette of leaving the house. Wow. We didn't know we had etiquette there too. What should we do when we leave the house? Huh? We're going to talk about that. Islam teaches us so many things. It teaches us the way of life. Correct? How to enter the house, how to leave the house, how to sit, how to eat, how to drink. We talked about all of that, right? Now we're going to talk about how to leave the house. Interesting, isn't it? Did you ever think that Islam will talk about such a thing, leaving the house? Did you ever think about that? It talks about it. Our books talk about it. The books of Ahadith talk about this. The Ahadith of the Holy Prophet and the Imams. Okay. So, when we leave the house, what do we say? The first thing we say when we leave the house, what should we say?
Bismillahir
Rahmanir Rahim. There you go. Yes, dude.
Way to go.
You're right, man. Okay. Bismillah. You start with Bismillah, of course. Okay. You leave the house. Imam Raza alayhi salam said, when you want to leave the house, then say, Bismillah, Amantu Billah, Tawakkaltu Ala Allah, MashaAllahu, La Hawla Wa La Quwwata Illa Billah. Okay? You need to memorize this. Okay? I start with the name of Allah. That is Bismillah. I brought faith in Allah. Amantu Billah. I rely on Allah. Tawakkaltu Ala Allah. Whatever Allah wishes, that is mashaAllah. And there is no ability nor power except by Allah, by the leave of Allah. There's neither power nor ability save by Allah. That means no creature possesses either ability or power over anything except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is able and capable. So, what do we say when we start? When we get out of the house, Bismillah. Amantu billah. Say it.
Tawakkaltu ala Allah.
Very good.
Masha'Allah.
Very good.
La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahil.
Ahsan, Aliyul Azim, you can say that too, because one of the Imams used to say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahil Azim. Okay, very good. So the Holy Prophet said, whoever leaves home and says Bismillah, you know what the angels do? The angels tell him, this person, live peacefully and safely. Isn't that beautiful? When you leave the house and you say Bismillah, the first thing you say is Bismillah, the angels say, live peacefully and safely. Okay? When the person says La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, the angels tell him, your work is done. Your job is done. Like, for example, you're getting out of the house and you have some work. It's like done, the angels say. And when the person says, Tawakkaltu ala Allah, the angels say, you're protected or you're safe from calamities. Isn't that beautiful?
So we should make it a habit when we leave the house. We should say, Bismillah, Amantu Billah, Tawakkaltu ala Allah, Masha Allahu.
La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil
azim. Ahsant, very good, very good. So basically, what we learn from these two ahadith that we just talked about, we talked about ahadith of the Holy Prophet and Imam Rida alayhi salam. Which Imam is Imam Rida?
Eighth Imam.
Very good. Okay, so what do we learn from these two ahadith that we just talked about? We learn that when we leave the house, we should say Bismillah. Yeah. That means no matter what we do, we take the name of Allah, it's good. We're doing dhikr of Allah, we're remembering Allah. So don't just, when you leave the house, remember Allah. When you enter the house, remember Allah. Okay? When you board a plane, remember Allah. When you do that, then you're under protection. You do tawakkul on Allah, you rely on Allah. That means you're always remembering Allah, so you'll stay away from sins. Like for example, if I leave the house and I say, Bismillah, Amantu Billah, Tawakkaltu ala Allah, MashaAllahu la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi aliyul azim. When I say that, would I go out and sin?
No.
No. Because I'm so careful when I leave the house, I think of Allah, I will stay away from sins. Isn't that beautiful? That's one of the philosophy.
Assalamu alaikum, Zainab.
Wa alaikum assalam.
How are you doing today?
Alhamdulillah.
Good. Can you think of any nasheeds you'd like to sing?
I know one.
Okay, which one?
Little Bird.
All right. How about if you sing it on your own?
By myself?
Yeah.
Okay, inshallah.
All right.
Little bird, where has your mother gone? Why are you here all alone? Little bird, where is your nest? Why are you so far from all the rest? Allah knows the language you speak, and Allah can lift you high. Allah can bring you home again, for Allah is stronger than I. Allah is stronger than I.
Now the next thing we do is we take out sadaqah. Before we leave the house, you can take it out before we leave the house also. Because sometimes, you know, you can't find poor people around, right, to give sadaqah. Mm. So, like, for example, in the Western countries, you don't find poor people everywhere. Now, so where are you going to give the sadaqah? You take it out, put it in a bottle or a container.
No, there's a charity box even available.
You can on the streets, there's a charity box. You just put it in the sadaqah box. Or, if you don't want to do that, you might forget. Just take it out at home and keep a sadaqah box inside at home. Put it in every day before you leave the house. It's very good. If you can give someone, that's good. But if you can't, just put it in there. And once a month or maybe every 15 days or every few months, 6 months, whatever, take them all out and find a poor person or give it that to a poor person. Or sometimes some beggars come and ring the bell. Give it to them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Give it to them, okay? Give them a whole lump sum or give them a big amount. They'll get happy. Okay. All right. So first thing we do is we say, Bismillah. Ayn amantu billah, tawakkaltu ala Allah. MashaAllahu la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Now, suppose you forget all of this. So you can't remember. Just say Bismillah. At least say Bismillah. Okay? It's not wajib to say all of this. And then you take out sadaqah. Or you take out sadaqah before. Whatever. Okay? And when we leave the house, it should be for a reason that is halal. We should not leave the house for doing, God forbid, something haram. Okay? Sometimes some people leave the house with evil intentions, like, I'm going to go and cheat that guy, God forbid. I'm going to make the money illegal way, haram way. It's all.
Huh? I'm going to go and steal something from the shop.
Yeah, God forbid.
No!
You know, all of these are evil intentions. So go with pure intentions. When you leave the house with pure intentions. So you'll be doing pure things. Like, what are the pure intentions? What things can you do when you leave the house? Like, for example, you leave the house to go to school, to go to relatives, to visit the Mu'mineen brothers or sisters, right? Or visit the sick, ayadat, right? Or to earn halal money, correct? All of these things. So it's all good things. It's okay to go and earn halal money. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a pure intention. So, and the next thing we do is when we leave the house and we see in the neighborhood our neighbors, correct? Whether they're kids or adults, greet them. Say, Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Very important. Okay? Do not just walk without greeting them. Greet them. It's humble. Say, Assalamu alaikum. Remember, there's a lot of thawab. We talked about this long time ago. When we initiate the greetings, we get 69 points. And the person who answers, it's wajib on that person.
What if on a busy street there's so many people? We're supposed to greet every single one of those people. For example, in places like New York, the streets are flooded with people.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the neighborhood. Our neighborhood, you know, the little kuchas, little alleys. When you're, like, when you're in New York, like, for example, you're leaving, you've got thousands of people, or Bombay you go to, or Calcutta you go to, thousands of people. Oh, you don't know anyone, and they're all rushing and all that. No, that's different. In your neighborhood, in your little kucha, in your little alley where you live, I'm talking about when you get out.
Yeah.
And suppose, you know, you're walking, like, in big streets of New York, whatever, it's good. Walk with a smile, say hi. If you have any eye contact with anyone, say hi, how are you, you know, whatever. Or if there's a Mu'mineen brother, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, you know. Yeah, nothing wrong with that. It's good. It's a good habit. Keep it. I mean, if you can, do it, you know. But it's impossible to say hello, hi. So, oh, hi. Yeah, that's how we'll be doing. That's impossible. No, I'm not talking about that. Now, so when we leave the house, we see little kids playing or adults, whatever, say salam to them. And the next thing is walk humbly and do not walk arrogantly. You know, do not walk arrogantly, walk humbly. And because there's an ayah in the Holy Quran, it says,
وَلَا تُصَعِّرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرْحًا وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرْحًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ.
He says that, do not turn your face away from people in contempt, nor walk proudly on earth. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. Indeed, Allah does not like any conceited boaster. Okay, what does it mean? It's saying that when we walk, like suppose you're walking and suddenly, you know, this, you see a person, you turn your face. I'm not going to look at that person. You know, some people do that, right? They don't even think, I'm not going to look, right? And they just walk without even, you turn their face from that person. That is arrogance. Allah says, don't do that disdainfully. It is not right. Okay? And walk humbly on earth because Allah does not like somebody who walks arrogantly. Once the Holy Prophet saw some people, it's a beautiful story. He saw some people surrounding a person who was mentally ill. He was retarded. So the Prophet asked them, what are you doing? And they said, we're watching this person who is mad or crazy. The Prophet said, he is not mad nor crazy. Rather, he is ill. He's ill. And then the Prophet said, and do you want me to point to you the one who is really mad? Who's really crazy? And they said, yes, O Prophet of Allah. The Prophet said, Holy Prophet said, the one who walks arrogantly on earth is the one who is really mad or crazy. What a beautiful hadith, right? What do you learn from this hadith, my dear brothers and sisters?
We learn that it's like being mad to walk on earth proud, because what is it that we should be proud of? We do it every human day. We go to toilet. We eat.
So yeah, okay, yeah. Very good. So yeah, what are you arrogant? What are you proud about?
Huh? Yeah.
You're doing the same thing. You
one
sneeze.
Day you're here, the next day you'll be in your grave.
There you go. Very good. Beautiful. Ahsan. Very nicely said. So, yeah, there's nothing to be proud about. What are you proud about, man? That means this person is really mad because he's arrogant. Okay, you have something to say?
That means we should learn that we should not walk arrogantly because it will be like that. The next day will be in the grave maybe or we'll be look like as the prophet say, we'll look as we are mad. Uh-huh. And then where's...
Okay, so basically what Hashim was just saying, right? Yeah. Right, so there's nothing to be proud about. So if a person is walking proudly on earth, then he's the real madman. That's what the prophet is saying. Okay, what else do we learn from this hadith? We learned that the holy prophet really paid attention to the surroundings. He was very busy. Okay, he had tons of things to do. But he still took out time to stop and ask people as to what they were doing. You know, people were like, if I'm busy, I'm walking, and there are people, like a group of people standing somewhere, I think, oh, I don't have time for that. I'm leaving. I got better things to do. Right? But the prophet, no, he was the prophet of Allah. He stopped and he asked them, what are you doing? He did not say to himself, I got better things. Like, you know, he didn't say that. He went, he approached the people. And it shows that the holy prophet was always after teaching the people. Of course, he was the messenger of Allah. He was always teaching and guiding them. Okay? And we learned that turning our face away disdainfully from people is not a nice thing to do. And Allah does not like it. We learned that we should walk humbly.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returns upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
So going back to when we leave the house, we should start with Bismillah, amantu billah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, mashallah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, and give out sadaqah and greet the neighbors or people you encounter and walk humbly and get out of the house with the pure intention. So far we talked about all of that, correct? Okay, now what else do we do when we leave the house? Any other ideas? What should we do?
Leave the house tidy.
Leave the house tidy? I mean clean, don't leave a mess. Okay, that is different. I'm talking about when you're out of the house now.
Out of the house?
Yeah, out of the house.
You just left the door.
Left the door, you start greeting people, salam, how are you? Hey, how are you? Oh. Okay, and then, you know, you greet people and you walk humbly and all that. So what do you do? What else? I'll tell you. You got any ideas, Sumayya? We try our best and accumulate rewards while walking. How? We get rewards just by walking. We can... accumulate reward. We talked about a couple of rewards already. Greeting people, we get rewards. For saying assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, we get rewards.
Leaving the house with wudu.
Okay, that is good. Leave the house with wudu, that's good too. Very good. And you should always try to be in wudu. It's very good. Ahsan. But anything else, when you leave the house, you're already out of the house, you greet people, you accumulate rewards. What else?
You say salawat while you're walking.
Okay, good. You do the dhikr of salawat while you're walking, perfect. That's another one. And if you see an old person carrying something heavy,
we should help him.
Offer to help. You get the thawab. If you're not in a big hurry. Like, for example, you're like 1 minute to school, you're running, you suddenly see an old person. I mean, it's not a wise thing to do. You better go to school because you're going to be late. Correct? But if you're not in a hurry, you know, and you see an old person, go offer help. Can I help you? You know? And if you see an old person needs help crossing the road, help that person. Again, if you're not in a big hurry. Okay? So accumulate rewards just by asking. Suppose you go and ask, the old person says, leave me alone, I can carry this. Some people are very cantankerous, you know, they don't want to touch. No, no, just leave me alone, kid, I can handle this. Okay, no problem, thank you. You know, at least you tried. At least your intention was good. Allah knows your intention, you'll get the reward. Okay, and the old person really needed help, he will say, okay, please help me, thank you, son, may God bless you, blah, 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 right? So that's how you accumulate rewards. Okay, so what are we talking about? We're talking about the etiquette of leaving the house, how to leave the house, and how do we accumulate the rewards when we leave the house, right? And the different etiquette, we're going to talk about that in the next session, inshallah, and we're going to talk about some travel etiquette too. Are you guys excited? And that will be the next session. Until then, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Here's Sister Batul again with a wonderful story.
It's story time.
Once a child was walking in the forest,
going to the left and then the right.
So impressed, he pondered the sight,
seeking to discover the hidden secret.
Keep yourself tuned in here with Sister Batul.
Well, let's go.
It's story time, story time.
Salaamu Alaikum, brothers and sisters. And today's story is about Qarun. Qarun belonged to the community of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. And according to some riwayas, traditions, he was the cousin of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. And the Almighty Allah had given him so much wealth that the keys of his treasure could not be lifted with a strong group of people. But this man, Qarun, continued to oppress his community. No matter how much people of his community asked him to refrain from pride and selfishness, to behave nicely to others, to be kind to the orphans, not to spread mischief in the earth, to deal with the weak and needy in the best way. But this man, Qarun, gave a deaf ear. When Qarun came out dressed beautifully, those who were inclined to materialism said, "Wow, I wish we were given as much wealth as Qarun." They were jealous of him. When Prophet Musa sent people to collect zakat, that is the poor rate from him, Qarun replied, "I worked hard for it. Why should I give it to others?" He refused to pay the zakat, the tax. Moreover, you know what Qarun did? He played a dirty trick on Prophet Musa alayhi salam. He asked a woman to give false witness that Prophet Musa alayhi salam sinned. Prophet Musa was very depressed by this, and he cursed him. Then Qarun was swallowed by the earth. Destruction and misfortune surrounded Qarun in such a way that those jealous of him said, "Thank God we were not in the place of Qarun, or we would also have been destroyed." Hope you enjoyed the story. And brothers and sisters, think about the moral in the story. And I shall be back again in our next session. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
I am a Muslim.
you next time, same time, same channel.
Of the apostles, he is the greatest of prophets. I love the best of the apostles, he is the greatest of prophets. And my darling mom, I love her much, who overwhelmed me with her touch. My dad is thriving for my interest, among my friends he is the best. My dad is thriving for my interest, among my friends he is the best. I am a Muslim, dedicated, keen on being educated. Neat I am and well behaved, in every affair well arranged. Neat I am and well behaved, in every affair well arranged.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
The following is part of the speech delivered by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with school and university students. The meeting took place in the Imam Khomeini Rahmatullah Alayhi Husayniyah on November 3, 2025, on the eve of Student Day and the National Day of Fighting Global Arrogance. In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful, all praise is due to God, Lord of the worlds, and may peace and greetings be upon our Master and our Prophet, Abul Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad, and upon his untainted, pure, chosen progeny, particularly the remnant of God on earth. This gathering is being held on the occasion of the 13th of Aban, November 4th. Of course, the exile of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh in the year 1343 AHS, 1975 Anno Domini, also took place on this day. However, the important history-making event for us was the seizure of U.S. spy den. I will dedicate this meeting to explaining this matter. However, before we commence that discussion, since the blessed names of Lady Zainab and the Lady Fatima Zahra alayha salam were mentioned, I deem it appropriate to advise you young people to not just settle for a heartfelt remembrance of them, or the mention of their names. You must truly follow their example in your actions to fulfill the meaning of being a genuine Shia. The first step is to emulate the manner in which these two noble figures, Lady Zainab and Lady Fatima Zahra alayhima salam, and the other immaculate personages stood before Almighty God. Wherever you are, encourage the people around you to perform the ritual prayer and salat in the manner that is befitting of God's righteous servants. I would like to say something to the dear ladies present in this gathering. Remind those around you that the issue of hijab is a religious, Islamic matter from Hazrat Zahra and from Hazrat Zainab. I would like to recommend that you all maintain close ties with the Quran. I have said this repeatedly, that one should read the Quran every day, even if it's just half a page from any part of the Quran. Open the Quran and read half a page, read one page, or read as much as you are inclined to and want to read, maintaining your connection with spirituality. In these turbulent times, our youth can truly say down with the USA when they are strong internally in terms of their religiosity, their beliefs, and their trust in Almighty God and His power.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
You are with Iran Radio, and here are some interesting facts about Islam. Let's listen to it. Every Muslim tries to visit Mecca at least once in his or her lifetime. This special visit is called a Hajj. Typically, more than 2.5 million pilgrims visit Mecca during the annual Hajj pilgrimage. Islamic law divides food and other products into three different types. One is halal, which are foods that you are allowed to eat. The other one is makruh, or foods that may be eaten but that are discouraged. And haram, or forbidden foods, such as pork, meat of carnivorous animals, and anything that causes addiction, such as alcohol. Prophet Muhammad left Mecca and traveled to Medina in 622 AD. This event is called the Hijra migration. The Hijra marked the starting point of the Muslim calendar, and years are counted from this event. And now we'll listen to the continuation of Iran Radio. For this hour, we'll start with news. Following the news, join us for today's special. Then we dive into a curated selection from our finest radio productions. Stay tuned. News is coming up next.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Iran hails Syrian youth resistance on their fight against Israel's incursions, legitimate response to aggression. Hezbollah leader says their group's arsenal is the only force capable of deterring Israel's expansionist ambitions. And people in Venezuela say they are determined to defend their nation in the face of intensified U.S. military activities in the Caribbean. Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us here on World News. Top story, the Israeli regime has drawn a chorus of condemnation for a deadly incursion into Syria that's left 20 people dead, including children. A Syria's foreign ministry denounced the attack on a Damascus suburb as a brutal massacre, said Israeli forces resorted to indiscriminate shelling